Thank the Lord. Well, getting into God's Word here, Advent season. By the way, did you hear what happened to the man that stole the Advent calendar? He got 25 days. Forget it, okay. I just want to see if we're just a little bit alive here today. Bad. Turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. The Christmas story. Every year we have the great opportunity to be reminded of why Jesus came. And as we look at this account of the birth of Christ again, pray that God would apply this word to our hearts right where we are living right now. Here in Luke chapter 2 verse 1 says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" And on earth, peace. First words from the angels were that the Messiah would bring peace. They were told to say that by Almighty God because the angels are messengers of God. He didn't say there'll be victory for the people. There will be triumph for the people. No, there will be peace. Because that's the number one need that we have. Peace with God, peace within ourselves, and only Jesus can bring that. And that was what he was here to bring. Bethlehem was the birthplace of Christ. Why Bethlehem? Turn with me back in your Bibles to the left of the book of Micah, right after Jonah. It goes Jonah, then Micah. These are familiar passages of Scripture we're going to be reading today, several of them. We all know them, but it's by way of reminder. How many know we forget? With all the information that we have, sometimes we forget the truth of God's Word. Here in Micah, hundreds of years before Jesus ever came, Micah named the place. He named the place that Jesus was to be born. A little obscure town, a little village called Bethlehem. Is God sovereign? Is he omniscient or what? He knows everything. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 is recorded. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from the ancient days. And therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of the brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great, to the ends of the earth. And he shall be their peace." He is our peace, the Lord Jesus. Micah proclaimed Bethlehem would be the place. Very interesting. Years ago, we went to Israel with several people from our church. And one of the highlights of my trip to Israel was this place near Bethlehem. Our guide, when we were there, Moshe was not only a tour guide for Israel, but he was an archaeologist. And his team of archaeologists had uncovered several sites that confirmed biblical prophecy, because what they did, they were unlike secular archaeologists or even religious archaeologists. They would look at the prophecies, then go to the place where they felt like that prophecy took place, and they would dig there, okay? So in doing that, they found Rachel's burial place. Now, there's a traditional Rachel's burial place, but it says in Genesis chapter 35 that when Rachel gave birth to Benjamin, her last son, she died. And she was buried by her husband Israel, who was to be Jacob, there on the way, on the path to Bethlehem. Now, that path is still there in Israel, still the same path that they walked for hundreds and hundreds of years. You could see the path that Mary and Joseph walked and all the people going from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. That was the path. And as they were digging around there, they found artifacts that confirmed to them, these archaeologists, that this was Rachel's tomb. Now, after she was buried, it says that Israel walked down the road a little ways to Megal Eder, the shepherd's tower, the watchtower of the shepherds. And that's what it says here in Micah chapter 4, if you look there with me, in verse 8. It says, "And you, O tower of the flock," that word in the Hebrew is Megal Eder, "hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, the former dominion shall come, kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem." And so, near the shepherd's tower would be the place where the Son of God would be born. So as Moshe and his archaeologists began to unearth, they found the circular foundation of the shepherd's tower that was there. A little ways up the road, they found a foundation that could have very well been the inn that was there. And this was just outside of Bethlehem. It wasn't in Bethlehem. There is a Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, but that was the place designated by Constantine's mother and not necessarily the exact location. But here, Moshe and his archaeologists were uncovering places that fulfill biblical prophecy. So with the foundation of the inn and the foundation of the shepherd's tower, they began to dig and found the cave where the lambs were birthed near the shepherd's tower. And when I saw that, and I could look there and see how those places right there lined up with prophecy, the chills just went through me, okay? No one knows that. That's not the typical place people on tours go. But you could see the fulfillment of prophecy right along the path to Bethlehem. And this made sense to me, because when the shepherds had the revelation of the angels and the angels said, "Go and find the Christ child, he'll be in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes," how did they know where to go? I mean, there were thousands and thousands of people in Israel. In Bethlehem, many places. How did they know where to go? You know where they went? They went to the shepherd's tower, the watchtower of the shepherd, because that is where the lambs were birthed. That's where the lambs were fed. That was the cave that was there. And they went there and found the Christ child right there. They didn't have to look all over the place for days and days and days to find him. Exactly what the prophecies of the Bible indicated. Bethlehem, powerful, powerful place. Also, the nativity. Do we all know where the nativity scene actually came from? The little stable and everything. It came from Italy, and that's where it was first put together. And they put the Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the cows and the lambs and the goats and the sheep and the wise men and the shepherds, and everybody's there in a nice little area. And you see the Christ child kind of glowing, and Mary just looks like she's never even delivered a baby. She just looks great. Their clothes are clean and pressed, and that's kind of the nativity scene. How many know it was not like that? It was not like that. Very, very difficult time for Mary and Joseph. You would think, if you were God, wouldn't you have made it easy on the one that was carrying the Son of God? I mean, let's roll out the red carpet for them. Let's make it easy. No, it was not easy. You know, God's number one motivation is not to make life easy for us. That is not what his one first priority is. In fact, if you look at Scripture, when people gave their life to Christ, life was not easy for them. Here you have Mary and Joseph going back to Luke chapter 2. And of all times for the government to call for a census, Mary is 9 months pregnant. And this was not any normal census. They had to go to their hometown in order to register. So there was this mass movement in Israel of people getting to their hometowns in order to register because the government commanded that. Government control always causes problems, doesn't it? And here's Joseph. Oh, I can just imagine. Sometimes I try to put my feet in Joseph's shoes. Oh, not now. I mean, it was about 80 miles. 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And over mountain. There's over a mountain range and through the wilderness of Judea and along the road from Jericho to Jerusalem where the robbers had beaten up that one guy that the Good Samaritan came. That was on that same road. There was danger. At times when people were traveling along these roads, they would actually hire protection. Okay, and Mary and Joseph were going with a great horde of people walking down there. And no donkey. There is no donkey in the biblical account. It doesn't say she rode on a donkey. It says they went there. She probably walked. Granted, she was young. Granted, it was her first child. But she probably walked the 80 miles, the four or five days to get there. Not easy. You know, God, I think about this. This is how my brain works. I think, Lord, you could have sent an angel to Joseph, just like you did to tell him to go to Egypt and then tell him to come back. He already has been through that. He could have heard the voice of your angel and then saying, go to Bethlehem. And then Joseph would have just traveled, taken his time to go down to Bethlehem. Could have done it any time during the pregnancy, maybe. And there wouldn't have been a lot of people there. Probably would have been rooms there and hotels. And he'd just kind of get himself a nice place. No, God moves the entire nation, moves them around, waits till the ninth month, then Joseph has to take Mary down to Bethlehem. I mean, it is a way of God. If you have fully committed your life to Christ, and since you've committed your life to Christ, it seems that things have gone worse, you're on the right path. Okay? Some people think when I give my life to Christ, things are going to get better. Not all the time physically. They get better spiritually, but not all the time physically. This was no easy time for them traveling there. Danger from robbers, no donkey, no reservations. No points on your credit card, no taxes, no accommodations. They get there. Can you imagine Joseph saying, Lord, this is the Son of God. I don't even have a place to stay. So they have to find a place. God was directing them to the place he wanted them to be. You know why? Because everything is significant in the Bible. Jesus would be born in the very place where the Passover lambs were born. That's where he would be born, indicating who he was. The very place where those shepherds who were priests around Bethlehem, because those were the temple sacrifices. These were not ordinary sheep. They had to be sheep without blemish or spot. Those shepherds were the ones that were to determine that because they were the lambs that would be sacrificed at Passover. Where is Jesus born? Right there. I'm not sure Joseph and Mary connected all the dots at that time, but we can. So, wasn't an easy time. How many know it's not an easy time, the Christmas season, for Christians? Boy, there are many people who say they can't wait for the holidays to get over and miss the celebration that we have of the birth of Christ. We celebrate Jesus being with us every day of the year. But at this time of the year, the whole world focuses on the greatest event in all history. That's what we say all the time. Our calendars are dated from the time that Jesus was born. 2016 means 2016 years since Jesus Christ was born. Wow. So, but a lot of people get stressed out. Extra shopping and cooking and decorating. And decorating the house inside. And decorating the house outside. And expenses. And family. Extra guests. For some people, this is not a pleasant time. It's a tough time. And there's stress. Fatigue. And people are just going. I don't know. Can I say this about you, John, and CarQuest? John was telling us Wednesday, he says, 8 out of 10 people that come into CarQuest, remember that? When you ask them how they're doing, they say, busy, busy, busy. Busy, busy, busy. So we talked about this at the men's meeting and thought, have you ever heard somebody say, resting? How you doing? I'm resting. I'm resting. It's a great opportunity to share Christ. I'm resting. Jesus says, come to me, all who are stressed out, and I'll give you rest. So that's what I've done. I'm resting. You don't hear that, okay? Try that. How you doing? Oh, I'm resting. Of course, you don't want to be, you want to make sure you are, okay? Stress, fatigue, anxiety, frustration, unreasonable expectations. How many families, their families expect them to send Christmas cards and gifts? You got to have gifts for all the kids. Years ago, I have four brothers. They have families. And we called them up and said, we are not exchanging any gifts. Don't get offended. You're not going to get Christmas cards or anything like that. We love you. Our children are growing up together, but it is just too much. And you know what all of them said? Thank you. We don't do that either. You know, but people get so stressed out. About all, we get so focused on the materialistic part of the celebration that we miss the Prince of Peace coming. And God wants us to experience peace. When he says peace on earth, that's just not the quieting of armies and nations. That's inner peace that God brings to every individual. That's what this time of the year is all about. There's frustration, financial pressure. How many people finish the Christmas celebration holidays in debt? And then they have to suffer all year long trying to pay that back. Depression. Sometimes there's a loss of a loved one. There's an empty chair. Sometimes it's more of a grieving time, even though you may know they're with Jesus. It's a tough time of the year for some. It's not the celebration time. But it wasn't a celebration time for Mary and Joseph either. I mean, in that stable, I've watched all six births of our children. With straw all around, I can't imagine what that would be like. And Joseph, I don't know that he had any training in emergency childbirth. Dr. Jeff, he delivered his own baby there in the straw and in all the stuff there with the lambs. I mean, think about that. And it was messy. Messy. And it was everything that God intended it to be. God works through the messiness of life, through the messiness of our lives, and works his plan and purpose. How many are grateful for that? Praise God for that. You know, that's what he does. And people have unhealthy coping mechanisms with all this stress. Over drinking, excessive drinking. There are people who hardly drink all year long, but they drink excessively over the Christmas holidays because you have office parties and Christmas parties and all this here, and all of a sudden you feel guilty because you shouldn't be doing that. Excessive drinking, excessive eating at this time of the year. My wife is a great cook. And every great cook has to have someone who loves to eat. Because there'd be no reason for them cooking. So I fulfill that part, okay? Love to eat. But excessive eating, okay? Some say, well, that's just my comfort food. I heard one lady come to me and say, Pastor Doug, stressed is just desserts spelled backwards. I hadn't thought about that. So, excessive eating. Spending, excessive spending. Caffeine, excessive caffeine, trying to stay awake. Oh, you know, Satan is the god, small g, of this world. He is the god of busyness. He's the god of retail. He is the god of sales and getting us all consumed with all of that. And it is a fight in America. Wouldn't you agree with me? It's a fight in our country. Other countries, there are no options. When I grew up in a little town of Walsenburg, Colorado, in southern Colorado, we didn't have department stores. Everything was closed on Sunday anyway when I was growing up. But you didn't have a lot of choices. So you'd go down and buy these jeans, and they're the only kind of jeans you can buy in town. There's no options. Life was so simple. So simple. And my brothers and I, like most children, we would get gifts and not play with the gift. We would play with the box because we liked boxes and we could do things with those boxes. Oh, the world it is a fight to keep out of the hecticness of this time of the year. Luke chapter 12, Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or about your body, what you will put on. This time of the year, there's a lot about what we eat and what we wear, okay? Puts a lot of pressure on people. God knows that. So he says, your body is much more than food and clothing. There's more to it than this. Keep your eyes on what we're celebrating here. So first of all, Jesus came to bring peace on earth because that's what we need. So I got to thinking about that this week. And I thought, okay, how can we soothe the seasonal stress? How can you soothe it? Because most people, not everybody, praise God, but most people get pretty stressed out at this time of the year. Well, first of all, it comes by remembering the Word of God. We've got to be men and women of the Word of God. In His Word is life. Jesus said, the flesh is of no avail. It is the Spirit that gives life. My Word is Spirit and life. Spirit and life. This is our nourishment. Man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this is our nourishment. So, first of all, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to have peace with our Creator, Almighty God, except through Jesus Christ. There is no religion. There is no belief system. There is no amount of meditation. There is nothing, no amount of spirituality that will ever bring us into the presence of God. Only through Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That is the message of the gospel. The one area that we need. Like many of us, when I gave my life to Christ, that was the overwhelming thing in my life, that I had peace within. I was fulfilled within. So I didn't need another drink or another drug or another relationship or another job or another position. I was full within, and that overwhelmed me. Just that sense that Christ was everything to me. And that has not left me for 42 years. But it's a fight to stay out of everything. Isaiah chapter 9 says, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So these are the names of Christ. Okay, Prince means a sovereign and a ruler over a nation. That's what he would be. By the way, peace, if you look it up into the dictionary, peace means the absence of agitation or disturbance. No agitation, no disturbance. Peace. It's a place of quiet, tranquility, and that only comes from God. There are many things in the world that try to take that place, cheap substitutes, but the peace that Christ brings is what Christmas was all about. Ephesians 2, Jesus came and preached peace to those who were far off, and peace to those who were near. What does that talk about? In that passage of Scripture, it says that Christ brought together Jews and Gentiles. We are thankful for that. Jews and Gentiles at the cross through His shed blood on the cross. And He brought peace and reconciliation before Almighty God. Now we both have access in one spirit to the Father. There are only two types of people, Jews and Gentiles, in the Bible. We come up with all these different races, but there are no races in the Bible. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve, right? Three of us are nodding our heads. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. We don't have any other starting points in that. So we're all related in that way. The world comes up with races. God comes up with Jews and Gentiles, and those are the only two groups of people that we have in the Scripture. Okay. The Jews were given the Word of God, and God in His mercy included us Gentiles into His plan of salvation. We should be grateful every day for what God has done for us, because He didn't have to do that. He included us into His plan. He came and preached peace to those who were far off, peace to those who were near. Henry W. Longfellow wrote a poem during the Civil War, one of the worst times in America. Our nation was being torn in two. Families were being torn in two. There were boys and families. Some would fight for the South, some for the North. It's a terrible time of bloodshed. No, people weren't sure about what was going to happen to our nation at that time. And Henry Longfellow, one Christmas, wrote this, one of the greatest hymns of all, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. He wrote this in the 1860s. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then peal the bells more loud and clear, loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to men. You can just see his emotions as he was writing those words, going from elation and then looking around him and saying, but there's no peace on earth around us. Hatred is growing, violence is growing, division is growing, uncertainties and fears are growing all around me. There's no peace on earth. That is why Jesus came, because there's no peace on earth apart from him. That's the message of the gospel, the good news. That's why we can tell people, I'm resting, because of what Christ has done for me. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. It begins with him. Secondly, the peace of God is a result of the Holy Spirit in our life. It doesn't come naturally to us. We're agitated by nature and easily agitated from the time we're little children and our blocks fall apart, fall down, and our whole world falls apart. And we're screaming and crying because our blocks are on the floor. And we're just like little children. You know, when little things go wrong, our lives fall apart. And we have our Heavenly Father smiling at us, saying, you're making a lot out of nothing here, just like we do with our little children. But we get easily agitated. So God gives us his Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there are no law. These are the character changes in our life that come as a result of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because the Holy Spirit teaches us, speaks to us about God's sovereignty over everything. We don't have to react to life like the world does, with fear and agitation and anger, because we can't control our surroundings. God is in control of our surroundings. We don't have to get agitated. When I had cancer and I was going in for chemotherapy years ago, and in that infusion center, there probably was about 20 people taking chemo with me, and a lot of them were agitated. They hated this. They were going to get power over this. They were going to beat this. They were, and I'm walking around saying, hey, my God is sovereign over this. I've got a peace about this. He gives us peace in the midst of the storm. The world wants peace to be in the absence of the storm. Get rid of people you don't like. Leave churches you don't like. Leave jobs you don't like. Get away from things that agitate you because they don't have the Holy Spirit. But when you have the Holy Spirit, we can have peace in the midst of the storm, right? That's what he gives us. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. Jesus told his disciples, and these are very familiar passages to us, but today it's just by way of reminding us what this season is. Jesus told his disciples, what some of his last words to them had to do with this area. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I love the word let in the Bible. Don't let it. We already, if you're a Christian, you're a born-again Christian, you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. God has already given us everything we need to walk with him, for a relationship with him. We learned that for 2.5 years in this congregation when we went through Ephesians. God has already given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's already given us an inheritance in the saints. We already have the immeasurable greatness of his power within us. It's already there. We already have his grace. We already have the means to see his will come to pass through prayer. He's able to do abundantly beyond all we ask or imagine. We learned that in Ephesians 3:20. We already have it all. Satan wants us to be deceived to make us think we don't have it. We already have it. And the only way that we are going to have agitation control our life or frustration is if we let it. We let it. And that's why the scriptures say, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it. You don't have to, because you have everything you need in me right here. Don't let your heart be afraid. You don't have to give in to fear. Don't let anxious thoughts overwhelm you. We're going to have anxious thoughts, but they don't have to consume us. We're going to have times when we experience some fear, but it doesn't have to consume us. It can be very short-lived unless we let it. Let not your heart be troubled. Not as the world gives, give I to you. How does the world want to bring peace into people's lives? No? Well, numb yourself through drinking or drugs or money. All you need is a little more money, then you'll really have peace because you'll be independent. Oh, how many know that's a deception? The Bible says, don't put your eyes on money. It grows wings and flies away on you, you know, in Proverbs. That is a proverb. Relationships. Oh, I just had another relationship. Then I could feel good about myself. Have some peace. Isolation. Oh, Grand County's great for this. I'm just going to get away from everybody. Then I'm going to have real peace. Okay? And then the moose goes out and eats all those aspen trees you planted out there. I mean, you're not going to have peace. I got up this morning and driving out of my driveway and these two moose stand up and kind of startles you when they're around there. But false promises, all these things, the world tries to get a little bit of peace here. Jesus said, I give you peace, not like the world gives. It's lasting. Peace in us is sustained by allowing his peace to rule in our heart. Colossians chapter 3 says, let, there's that word let again, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, we cannot let it by getting all consumed about other things, but we already have the peace of Christ by his Holy Spirit. We can let it rule. That's part of growing in the Lord. That's part of maturing in Christ. Don't mountain climb over molehills. Don't make big things out of little things. We tend to do that. Oh, this is ruining my life. No. Just like little children. Just like little children. Daddy, he hit me. Well, okay, we can deal with this. It's not the end of your life. It's not the end. You can't eat dinner with him. Life can go on in our home. I learned a lot about my Heavenly Father by being a father to my children. We are so much like little children. We get our nose bent out of shape so easily. Okay. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. The only thing we need a little more of is the presence of God and a closer relationship with him. That's the only thing we need more of in this world. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. God, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Whatever situation comes into our life, however bad it seems it's going to happen, God will keep me in perfect peace if I keep my mind on him. His faithfulness, his sovereignty, his love, his mercy, his provision, his miraculous working in my life. Keep my mind on him. Keep my faith in him. Then I can experience the peace of God. Perfect peace. 1 Corinthians 14, I love this passage too. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Satan is the God, small g, of confusion. How many know there's a lot of confusion out there right now? There is a ton of confusion. God is not the God of confusion. He is the God of peace. Peace and order in our life. That's what he's come to bring. And I love this passage here too, Romans 14. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, my right standing before God. Peace, the peace that he gives me by his Holy Spirit. And joy. He gives me joy. This is what the kingdom of God, not in food or drink. Yes, potlucks are great. Christians love eating together. We all love to eat together. Praise God. But the kingdom of God is not in food and drink. What are two emphases of Christmas time? Food and drink. Okay. Well, the kingdom is not in food and drink. It's in the presence of Almighty God. This is the kingdom of God. So to bring our families into focus at this time of the year is of paramount importance. Parents, what are you passing on to your children? Is it the focus on presents? Is it the focus on trees? Presents and trees are great. You know, they're traditional. I like tradition. I think we need traditions in America. But that's not the focus of this time. Do we as families, dads, heads of your household, are you bringing Christ into the center of your celebration this season? That's what we're called to do. Simplify your Christmas and bring Jesus into focus, because he's come to give us the one thing that we need, and that's settledness, contentment, peace within our lives. And the last verse, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now, this is how Paul ended his message to the Thessalonians, talking to them a lot about the second coming of our Lord. And all the Christians at that time in Thessalonica and in Galatia and in Ephesus, they were under great persecution. Wherever you were Christians, you were being hunted down by the Judaizers and you were being hunted down by the Romans, okay? Great persecution. So there was a real focus and anticipation for the coming of Christ in their lives. And here's what he said. Paul ends his message to Thessalonians. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. May the God of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. That covers everything for us. And that's what God wants to do in our life. That's what he'll give us. Do you know of people who are just beside themselves at this time of the year? Reach out to them. Talk about the message of why Jesus came. The first words of the angels of Almighty God were peace on earth. That was it. They could have said 1,000 other things. That's what they said, because that's what God knows that we need. Times of success, God gives you peace at all times. Times of loss, times of difficulty, times of challenges, persecution, uncertainty, trouble, affliction. May the Lord of peace give you peace at all times and in every way, because that's what he's come to do. Praise God for that, right? Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. If there's things in your life right now that you know are causing you agitation, if it's a person, forgive them and let them go. Forgive them. If it's a situation, know that God is sovereign over that situation. If it's something that you have incorporated into your life in the Christmas celebration that really is causing stress on you, let it go. If everybody's expecting you to make all these Christmas cookies and, you know, you're getting stressed out, say, call them up. You know what? You're not going to get cookies this year. And I hope it doesn't rain on your picnic. It won't. It's not going to rain on their picnic. We are our own worst enemies in this. Let this time of the year be a time of worship and praise and celebration before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God Almighty, we give you praise, oh Jesus. Lord, we thank you again for knowing us so well. Your word says that you remember our frame, that we are but dust. You know our weaknesses, oh God. You know our tendencies. We thank you that your power is even made perfect in our weaknesses, because your grace is always sufficient. Thank you for your patience with us. Forgive us, O God, for times that we have let frustration and anger and unsettledness and agitation come into our lives and dominate our life oftentimes. Lord Jesus, forgive us for that. We want to learn what it means to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And let that be true in every individual, every marriage, every home, every family this year. May we bring glory and honor to you, Lord. May the atmosphere of worship be there within our homes, in our cars, in your church. We thank you for this, Jesus. Oh God, we give you praise for your faithfulness. If anyone here needs prayer this morning, we're going to be here to pray for you too. If you're a Christian, know the forgiveness that Christ has in your life. If you're not a Christian, may this be the time of the year that your eyes are open to see that Jesus indeed was the only God Almighty incarnate, and there is forgiveness and reconciliation in no one else but him. There is no religion. It's all in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way. and we will pray with you. If you've never given your life to Christ, received his forgiveness, declared him as your Lord, we want to talk to you about what that means. This and pray with you. This could be the first day of your eternity with him. And I don't know everybody in this room. So don't leave without giving your life to Jesus. And Lord, we pray that many would have their eyes open at this time of the year. In all the special services, everything that's going to be going on, Lord, let many come into the kingdom. Because that's why you came. Thank you for this, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.